league, man.
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, could be Wayne.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby.
Them orange britches. Something about them orange britches.
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back is Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Bruce McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Rid it, did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Thursday, April 4th. We are out of basketball season. We've seen it come to an end. We talked about that on Sunday. I won't sulk too much longer, but needed to put that out there.
It's a weird season. Week. No midweek at all.
It stinks to not have a game on midweek, but also with the last few basketball games being so high pressure, and you know me, I can tell myself I don't care. I can try my best to not. I hate how passionate I am about Tennessee. I also love it. And so my anxiety has just been at an all-time high. So being away from that and relaxed, it was kind of nice this week to just not have to worry about basketball. And then you've had baseball, back-to-back series, go to rubber matches on Sunday. One of those being played in the middle of the most important basketball game of the season.
Yeah.
And so anxiety, it's just been nice to kind of chill. And then Danny White said, April Fools, you can't do it.
I hate when there's news on April Fools because you have to, like, double-check everything and just be like, is this real? Am I being punked? Is this Richard G. West? Like, who is this?
Hey, you're tired on April Fools, though.
He did.
So. Yeah, that's a crappy day to get fired. I'd come back on the second just to see. Why not, you know?
Yeah, get one more day in.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll talk about it since I just kind of did it that way. There is a coaching search underway, and I know a lot of Tennessee fans are upset about it, and a lot of Tennessee fans are very happy about it. It's very much a mixed bag, and it's what I hate about former players who are beloved coaching at their alma mater is – it almost is always going to end badly. Look at Philip Fulmer. And I don't know what he, I don't know if he was beloved, probably not the right word for a coach or for him as a player, but as a coach, he wins a national championship. He is the man in Knoxville. Even at the end of his coaching career, it ends badly, no matter what. There were a lot of people who wanted him fired. They did it in the middle of the year, not in a way that you would respect a coach like that. And a lot of people blame the Wyoming. There's also a revisionist history, Landon. I need to put this out here because I hear it said a lot. They lost to Wyoming the week after he was fired, not before. He was not fired after Wyoming. He was fired before Wyoming. Sorry, I just need to slide that in there. Anyways, then he even comes back as an AD, kind of, again, revisionist history. People were like, we never wanted him gone, and then they hate him again. And so it's one of those things I'm almost like, I wish they wouldn't. Coach, you know, because you don't want to start not liking them.
Yeah. And from everything that I've heard, have I met Kelly Harper? No. Do I know her personally? No. But everybody that I've talked to or, that cover the team seems to just have nothing but good things to say about her. So it just sucks that it did not work out.
Right.
Because, like, you mentioned it, like the former players coming back, like you want those to work so badly. But for whatever reason, it just does not. And, you know, I know it stinks that, you know, she dealt with some injuries this year, and it was just – I understand why people didn't want to fire this year. But, I mean, if you didn't, are you just kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit to save some money? Because, I mean, she's had 5 years to get things right, and it just doesn't seem like it's good. I don't think it's getting worse, but it's not getting any better for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say it's getting worse. I'm just in the camp of, especially things like your program. Mm-hmm. If it's not getting better, it is getting worse. And I don't know how much, if any, the program in terms of just winning basketball games. I'm not talking about anything else, because I agree with you, Lane, and everything I've heard. But I don't know if it's gotten better in the last 5 years. And some of that is not – she has faced challenges, for example, 2020 COVID, that other coaches at Tennessee have not had to face. Now, the caveat to that is other coaches in the country have had to face that. Yes, she was new when that was happening. So, again, a little bit different. I mean, not – but – There have been challenges, but she's not the only coach that's faced those challenges, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so she shouldn't. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer here is. I do know that Danny White has to get this one right because of what that basketball program means to the fans in Tennessee. All will be forgiven. All will be forgotten if you make the right hire and she or he wins basketball games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't. It just wasn't going anywhere. Like I think the South Carolina game in the SEC tournament was a perfect example. It's just like, you know, you're kind of that close.
Yeah.
But you're kind of that far away as well. Like that. I mean, there's no reason why Tennessee shouldn't have won that basketball game, but it's kind of been the story of Kelly Harper at Tennessee where she just can't win the big one. She's 12-37 yeah. against ranked opponents in her career at Tennessee.
I think that's the nail in the coffin stat that I think at the end of the day really hurt her. When you look at the overall record, it's not bad. Mm. I shouldn't say probably. It's not to what most people hold as the standard at the University of Tennessee. And then when you look at that top or that ranked record, it's just no bueno. It's tough. And Danny White's got a tough task ahead of him. And I'm going to give you a really hot take, Lynn. That I think makes this a challenge for Danny White on top of him having to sit down with a beloved Lady Vol legend and tell her services are no longer needed. He also has a tough challenge ahead of him in getting the right person for this program. And this is a great thing for the women's game, for women's basketball. And this isn't a knock on the University of Tennessee. This isn't a knock on the Lady Vols, but a lot of people hold Tennessee's women's basketball program in the same regards as it was under Pat Summitt, early 2000s, 90s. The game has outgrown the brand that used to be the Lady Vols. And that's not to say that Tennessee isn't still one of the premier programs. It isn't still what it is because of Pat Summitt, because it 100% is. Mm-hmm. But it used to be the University of Tennessee is women's basketball. And because of people like Pat Summitt, and mainly because, I mean, a big part of that is Pat Summitt, the women's college basketball game has grown a ton. And there are other schools that are held in similar regards. Now, when you sit down, you lay it out, context, Tennessee's still Pat Summitt's Tennessee. And I'm not saying it's not. But I think if you have a coach like Dawn Staley, for example, who you're not going to get. If this was 2006, she won maybe one national championship, you could probably go get her because you're the University of Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like
– It's
not the only program in college basketball that's investing in back in their program. When
right.
maybe you could really – you know, when Pat Summitt was there, you could maybe make that argument where Tennessee is the only – athletic program that's investing in women's basketball because you're winning and all that.
It was Tennessee and UConn for a long time.
Yeah.
And then other schools, Stanford was close behind.
Baylor.
I mean, it's LSU changed.
LSU has now. South Carolina. Yeah, there's a lot more. Is it ever going to be profitable? Probably not for an athletic program. But in terms of, like, winning, and I feel like that's the big challenge for Danny White is, like, it's going to be hard to get back to that point. But you want to at least give yourself a chance. Whereas, like, with Kelly Harper, I just don't know if that chance was ever there. It didn't look like it was going to get any better. I mean, she had Rekia Jackson, which is one of the best players in college basketball this season, and she made it out of the first round of the tournament. Like, and she has no incoming freshman coming in. She did a great job out of the portal, but from what I've seen, recruiting has been terrible. And so, you know, when you don't think your program is going anywhere, Rekia Jackson is gone, Jewel Spear is gone. You know, a lot of that roster that, you know, made things happen this year is gone. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what else you're going to – I think this was the perfect time. Now,
April Fool's Days.
Right. Was I quick to tweet after that South Carolina game, fire Kelly Harper? Yes, I was.
That's emotions, though, man. That's emotions. If you were not thinking that, then you're not a Tennessee fan. You're a Kelly Harper fan. Yeah. Sorry. Like, that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you had to mean it. You just had to say it.
Yeah. So I think things could have gotten a lot worse, especially if you let Kelly Harper coach another season. I mean, I don't know what this team looks like next year. I mean, I think it's going to be a portal team, probably, just kind of see what happens. But your best two players on this roster this past season are both gone. And you made it out of the first round of the tournament.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. It could have gotten better from this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could have gotten worse. I don't know. I know that if you had beat number one South Carolina in that situation, you might have saved your job. You might have not had this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, she did make the Sweet 16 twice, but it stinks because I know a lot of people were just like, well, Pat Summitt didn't do that in her first couple years. Pat Summitt went on to win 8 national championships. Like, it's hard to
– Pat Summitt also built the program so no one would ever have to do that. That's right. We can't have the conversation like that. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. And the bottom line is, it comes down to winning or losing. It comes down to beating the best. And you fail to do that. And I hate it. I hate that it was Kelly Harper. I hate that it was someone who we rooted so hard for as a player, as a coach. I hate it. It sucks. She's a Tennessee girl.
Yeah, that's
why. Shout out White County.
Everything said relieved of her duties. It's like, okay, she was fired.
Listen, they had a mutual parting ways. I saw someone, and someone was like, hey, you just did her dirty by waiting for her buyout to go down. So now we're paying fired coaches pity money now? What? Yeah. She got paid. She's fine.
Yeah. It's a
pump the brakes.
That's another thing. With that record, 12-37 against ranked opponents, she was making $1.1 million. I mean, she was making more than Tony Vitello was at one point.
Yeah, I hate it for her. I don't feel bad about the buyout. I'll say that. I don't. I don't feel bad about how that situation shook out. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's not the standard there, Corey. I think a lot of most reasonable people, I think even Kelly Harper would agree. Now, Kelly Harper probably believes she could get it back to the standard. Her boss disagreed with that point. And he's got to go do it now. He's got to go get someone that can do it. It's Danny White's challenge, and I think those hurdles I mentioned, he's got another hurdle that I won't get into. You want to know, you can come ask me personally, but a lot of people are going to take their own way. So
I already Googled the UCF coach. It's not going to be her or him, whoever it is.
Okay. I saw some rumors of some interviews today, but
The sitting UCF basketball coach is not the one that Danny White had when he was there. So,
okay, okay,
just cross that one
because that. Where is that coach? Because could it be that person?
I think they were fired, so
probably not then.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find who. So, Sita Messer is the coach now.
Okay. So you have all these things. Vanderbilt's the Harvard of the South. You have those. You have the Ivy Leagues, things like that.
He was not fired. She's at Georgia.
Okay. There's another White there right now.
Okay.
Connect the dots.
A little family dispute. I like it.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
But is UCF the Tennessee of sort of the South? Because a lot of people consider, well, that part of Florida is really the South. Or I guess Orlando is borderline North.
Because
it's a weird place. But the upper part of Florida is very much the South. I don't know. All right. Well,
yeah.
It's
not really the South. Everybody goes there. No one really lives there. Everybody just goes there. So I don't know what you consider that.
Well, except for the slaves of Disney World that a lot of people don't care about, but that's beside the point.
I love like the old men that are in like the Minnie Mouse costumes, and you see them like
they put like old men in those costumes.
Yeah, I've seen like pictures of what? I've seen like pictures of somebody wearing a Minnie Mouse costume, and they have their head off, and they're like smoking a cigarette.
Oh, those aren't. Do you know, or do you just want me to keep that to myself?
I mean, you can tell. I don't know. I've never.
Those aren't people in costume at Disney World. Those are you've seen the parade in the neighborhood where it's like Mickey Mouse dancing. That's not Mickey. That's just someone has a Mickey costume, a Minnie costume or a Goofy costume, whatever.
So it's not the people that interact with children.
No, Disney World. I mean, I'm sure they're interacting with children, but not at Disney World, not on Disney property, not on Walt's watch.
Good. Yeah.
No, they're pretty strict.
That makes me feel better. I feel like I can go there now. I've never actually been to Disney World.
I freaked out at Disney World handler. You know, they have handlers walking around with them.
Mm-hmm.
I went to go meet Buzz Lightyear. Big fan of Buzz. I asked to see the bottom of his foot to make sure he was the real Buzz Lightyear. Make sure he's Andy's Buzz Lightyear.
Okay.
He didn't have anything written on the bottom of his foot. They freaked out. They're like, he will not show you his foot. It's concerning, if you ask me.
Hate to see it.
Concerning. Let's talk a little men's basketball, though. Let's flip the page.
It's kind of already flipped the page to the next season with the transfer portal open, and even though you still have a couple more games left, three more games left in the season, it just feels like everybody's, you have coaches hired. I mean, Vanderbilt hired the James Madison coach.
Does that count the NIT?
Oh, I guess no. That is not counting the NIT. NIT is tonight.
I don't remember when
it's on.
Is it tonight? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, Indiana State. Okay. Home? Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I'm liking a lot of the real quick. We can bring it up later if we want to talk more about it. I like the idea. I don't know how to implement it. That the winner of the NIT gets an auto bid to the NCAA tournament. I like that thought process. We can go more in depth another time, but
yeah, they just should have to play like you should put them on one thing in the bracket and they get to like play as many games as they can win in a row. And that's where they can like, if they make it to the Elite Eight, they could hang that banner. But you have to put them at a certain part in the bracket and they have to play like the loser of whatever that game was. So a 16 seed. Four seed and see how far they can make it without losing. I think that would be cool.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not following that at all, but I believe you that it would be cool.
I'm saying if they win the NIT, then you go back because like it's going on
after the season.
Correct.
Okay. So not the next season.
Oh, no. I'm saying like this season.
Okay. Gotcha.
They can get an automatic bid if they want, but I feel like if you win the NIT, like you probably should have been in the tournament of some capacity.
Probably, yeah.
Like you could have beat Kentucky.
Well, that's not saying much. Yeah, no, do it. But yeah, this season, speaking of transfer portal, you did get some news today that I don't know about you, but this was actually someone I said, this is my most likely candidate, second most likely candidate to enter the transfer portal. And just when you look at how minutes shook out and where you thought he was at just based on what we saw, but Freddie DeLeon has entered the transfer portal. Not incredibly shocking. Showed some promise on the offensive end. Maybe wasn't along defensively like the staff would have liked. And I think that hindered his minutes a little bit. But I mean, you saw that they trusted him at some level.
Yeah.
You don't throw a guy in there in the Sweet 16 and just hope it works.
Yeah. I mean, it just never worked here. And I think Riding was kind of on the walls. Like you're a guard. You didn't start your first year on campus. You redshirted this year. Like you reclassified, which I think that's the dumbest thing. Every time somebody does it, it never works. I don't know why people keep doing it. but he reclassifies.
Jarnell Stokes, pump the brakes.
Oh, did he reclass? Okay, that. Okay.
Yeah, he came in December like Freddie did.
That's true.
He just played right away.
Yeah. Okay, guards, it doesn't work. but yeah, sits out, and then this year.
That, by the way, that's the only one I know that's worked. I couldn't name another one. Yeah. I'm sure there's more. That's just the only one I know of.
There's not a lot. And then this year, like we kept hearing, like, oh, Freddie's like one of the best guards on the team. And every time he was in, I mean, he looks the part. 6'5", you know, pretty quick, pretty athletic.
Good length.
Yeah.
Basketball term.
But it just seemed like he wasn't ready for it. Like, Sweet 16, it was like, okay, let's get him out. It's not looking great.
Yeah, seeing him the first game of the season, I think it was the first actual game, against Tennessee Tech. And then all the way until towards the end of SEC play when he would get a few minutes here. It always just seemed – he seemed uncomfortable. He seemed rushed. Didn't seem like he was confident to be out there. And that's concerning for a guy who's been there for a year and a half. That's supposed to be very talented. I don't know if he felt that there was a lack of trust and whether he knew what to do or not. Just – felt like he didn't, and I don't know the surrounding situation, but you say writing on the wall. I think when you look at what's leaving, what's returning, his role is not going to change a whole lot.
No.
Unless he improves drastically.
Yeah. You still have Zakai. You still have Jordan Gainey. You still have Jemai Mashak that's ahead of him. I think Cam Carr is probably ahead of him at this point.
I would say Cam Carr's ahead of him.
So, I mean, it just – and then you're going to look in the transfer portal. Like, I would think they are recruiting over me at that point.
Yeah.
They're not going to get a guy that can start for them in the portal.
Yeah, and they may not find it. It may not be a guard they find in the portal, so it may not change. But the fact of the matter is they're going to go try to find a scorer, and that very well could be a guard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I it doesn't shock me a whole lot. We'll see what comes of – him leaving and who they try to bring in. I haven't seen really any like names be fully attached to Tennessee. Nothing that anybody slaps them like, which I mean, it's been what, 4 days now. So since Tennessee's, I'm sure Rick Barnes and his staff have been on the phone because the transfer portal opened a month ago, but I'm sure they haven't been able to get anybody in for visits. They've been a little busy.
Yeah. One guy that you kind of will be on Tennessee's radar because he's from Nashville. He went to Innsworth as Chaz Lanier. He's at North Florida, which North Florida has an awesome – I don't know if you know like anything about North Florida. The only reason I did is because we played them 1 year in football. They're the Ospreys.
Okay, that's pretty sweet. That's an interesting
– yeah.
An odd one.
But, yeah, he averaged 19.7 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, Shot 51%, 6'4", 199 pounds. And again, has that Nashville ties. So I think there's some familiarity there. So other than that, like, I mean, you're going to see a lot of people like Tennessee's going to reach out to, and we'll see who gets on campus to see how serious things are with others. But yeah, I mean, you're definitely looking to replace. Here's the thing. You're not replacing Dalton Connect.
You're not.
You can try all you want to. It's just those do not come around very often. I mean, look at Tennessee's transfers that they've gotten out of the portal or just transferred to Tennessee the last couple of years. All of them have been crap. I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Special shout out to Lou Evans, who got in a random pick your starting five thing the other day. I was like, how did Lou Evans sneak into here? I had even forgot about him.
Yeah, Lou Evans was one. It just wasn't a great pickup.
Tyreek Key, you can still get Tyreek Key shirts at Ball Shop. I saw.
Yeah, Tyreek Key's one. Justin Powell's another one. I mean, it just hasn't been worked out for, and that's why we're a little hesitant. Like, you heard good things about Dalton Connect, and you're just like, yeah, I'm gonna wait. And then even when he did it against Michigan State, we're like, well, Tyreek Key did the same thing. I'm going to wait.
Yeah. Pump the brakes. You mentioned Justin Powell. I saw this conversation I had with a friend of mine that's an Auburn fan when Justin Powell transferred to Tennessee. And they had texted me, and they were just like, I effing hate Justin Powell. And I was like, why? And they're like, of all places, to leave Bruce Pearl to go to Tennessee. And I was like, I get that.
Yeah.
As it turns out, we didn't win anything in that one. So
yeah, he didn't do anything for us. So yeah, it's just been hard out of the transfer portal. But now I think you have a huge selling point with a guy like Dalton Connect, consensus All American. Here's the thing: trying to replace him, I mean, he's one of the best players ever to put on the uniform at Tennessee. So I mean, it's going to be hard to replace that production. Now, the good thing about Tennessee's team, is you do have pieces. Like, you have defensive player of the year in Zakai Ziegler, first team all SEC. You have all SEC big man and Jonas Adu. Tobey Awaka has shown a lot if he can stay out of foul trouble. So yeah, Jamai Meshack. Here's another transfer. Jordan Ganey is a guy that I know a lot of people were frustrated with in the year with his, you know, inefficient shooting, but
insufficient would work as well.
Yeah. But he's probably the second most successful transfer that Tennessee's had.
He'd be number one if Dalton Connect wasn't a transfer. Yeah. 100%. Zero doubt in my mind.
And especially with his NCAA performance.
Not for me, but I digress. Yeah, I think what's exciting about next, a lot of question marks about basketball next year. But I think there are also, you have plenty of good, you have a plenty good group, plenty solid answers. Now, the most alarming question, who the heck's going to score the basketball? Which was the alarming question going into this year. So I just hope you can have a similar answer. But I think Jonas Adu still has – I don't think he's hit a ceiling. Because you saw what he can do consistently, and then you saw some regression maybe, unfortunately, later in the year when it all really mattered. But I think he's still got room for improvement because it's not – the things that I think he can improve at are not impossible to fix. So I think – guy that was really, really good this year, I think can get better. I hate that it took Santiago Vescovi being sick, but getting to see Jamai Meshack come in and play, he played valuable minutes all year, but starting valuable minutes for Tennessee is very encouraging for next season. He's a guy that also took on an uncomfortable role, and he wasn't Zakai Ziegler. He started in place of him, but certainly wasn't a replacement for him, but still an uncomfortable role for him last year, and just seemed to really – he was a bright spot during all that. And so I think he's just getting better. I'd like to see him get confident more offensively, but solid returner. Tobey Awaka just got to be consistent, man. just got to be consistent. We've seen what he can do. Staying out of foul trouble is going to be a part of that. Hard to be consistent if you're on the bench a lot. Yeah. I think we talked about Cameron Carr a little bit. That's a big one. Getting Jordan Ganey back, you just knock down shots, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's not hard. And then, man, upside on Cade Phillips. Like, you love it. JP Estrella, like, you love the upside there. Now, between the two of them, a lot of questions. But there's upside, right?
I mean, definitely in the post, you're thinking like, man, it's going to be hard to find minutes with all four of those guys. But I'm interested to see, like, depending on what you get out of the portal, is it something that Rick Barnes is like, hey, we're going two bigs because that's our best five.
Right.
And I don't hate that. Here's the thing. If you do that, I think it's okay if another team runs four guards because I feel like you can trust Adu and Tobe to probably guard, you know, whoever their bigger guard is, or whatever. And if they you play matchups, like if they want to run four guards, hey, we'll just dominate the paint.
I think the four guys we just named that would be your big men next year in situations like that. I think
Maybe Cade or Estrella.
Yeah, I think they can pose some matchup difficulties because they're all athletic. Mm-hmm. Now, when you face true big men, Tobe, you do have him who's strong and physical. Mm-hmm. Can the other guys be strong and physical though? Especially Jonas Adu, still a question mark. But again, I don't think it's unfixable. I don't think it's a problem that can't be solved.
I mean, if he makes strides from last year to this year, mm-hmm. to next year, I mean, ceiling is the roof for Jonas Adu.
Yeah. I feel like he's
kind of in Tennessee fans' doghouse right now because of that game where he just didn't play well. It happens. But I mean, he was an all SEC player. It wasn't like he was all season.
You don't win the SEC without him.
He wasn't Urosh.
He was just big
for no reason.
He gets to answer the question that had previously gone unanswered for me is how much better would Kyle Alexander have gotten if he had played one more year? He feels like he's in that Kyle Alexander senior year spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
So answer the question for me. How much better could he have gotten if he had one more year? I think that's where Jonas Adu's at. Different. They're not the exact same players by any means, but I feel like the strides each of them have made, this is what was Kyle Alexander's senior year. So tell me.
Yeah. I definitely think, I mean, you got to get some scoring on the wing somehow, some way. Otherwise, I mean, we are going to be spoiled as crap next year when we start the year, and it's going to be back to that 61-59 games. Now, I think Tennessee is going to be a good basketball team next year. I just have a hard time.
They're going to win differently.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that it's going to be as much fun as this year was.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's my only request in a transfer is a scorer, a natural scorer, if you will. Guy that puts ball in hole. That's simple. And I have one more request that I think's probably a hot take. I don't think you responded to this, Landon. I thought you at least would have partially loved it, even if you didn't love it. Go get Bronny James. Go get Bronny James. I think you would fit in great here. Now, playing time is a question. Where do you exactly play him at? But dude plays defense really hard. He's a good assist man. I think he's a great. I mean, when you talk about athletic upside, I don't know if you could argue to me that there's another player better. I mean, it can't be. And I think a guy like that would do really well coached under Rick Barnes.
I mean, could you imagine Rick Barnes getting to coach KD and then LeBron James' son?
Yeah, I think LeBron. I think if LeBron and Bronny are needing some advice, I think they need to call KD and get the answer. There's rumors that he told him to go play for him originally because the top five was Tennessee top five at one point with him. They were up there towards the end, but I don't know where exactly they fell. And a lot of people are going to say that's dumb because they hate LeBron James. And I've said it many times. I'm not a fan of LeBron James, but it really has nothing to do with LeBron James and mostly to do with ESPN shoving him down my throat.
Yeah, sure.
I can't stand to hear about LeBron James. He does some things that annoys me, but by all accounts, great dude, great father. It wouldn't be a guy that I might keep away from the program.
Yeah, decent basketball player.
He's okay. He's an okay basketball player.
Yeah. Also,
don't get too ahead.
Let's get Savannah James courtside, baby. Let's do it.
I think that would be the coolest part is the celebrities that showed up in Thompson. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Food City Center. Mm-hmm. Food City, you want your name attached to guys like LeBron James? You pay the NIL deal. We saved you a huge amount of money on an arena. Go do it. Do you think guys like that NIL even factors in?
No.
You don't, because I mean, athletes, I mean, look at Peyton's contracts and he didn't need any more money. If I was Peyton, I would have taken the minimum so we could pay our defense something, but he didn't.
I mean, I think if they're definitely close, I don't think it really matters.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like the Kansas, what's his name that apparently turned down? He told Kansas he wanted $1 million. They offered $750 and he walked.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Bronny James would be like, all right, $750. Cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. He definitely would right now at this stage because I don't know if people are fainting over him. But listen, I think it's a project the only person that can finish it, see it to completion is Rick Barnes. He's a 4-year guy too. Rick Barnes would love him.
I mean, is there a better point guard to go against in practice than Zakai Ziegler for your development on defense?
Bingo. I 100% agree.
So
think about the jokes you could land on LeBron James' son, Rick Barnes. You could tell him how much better KD is all the time.
We could also,
and the only reason is because you coached him.
We can make a case for him getting better at anything. If he wants to get better at boxing out, here's Tobey Awaka. Good luck.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, we could.
I think the bottom line is you want to be a complete basketball player. You want to get better in your 4 years and 3 years in school. Come to the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's not going to go back to USC after getting muscle. Surely not.
Oh, God, no. God, no. That's one of my fails.
What a hilarious hire. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know who Tennessee gets in the transfer portal.
Except Bronny James. You know that one.
Yeah, except that one. We're going to put a full Excel file on how Bronny James can get so much better at the University of Tennessee than anywhere else. But, yeah, we'll kind of see what happens. I mean, it's going to be a – I think you're probably good post-wise unless somebody just, like, comes in and is like a program changer, which why are they in the portal if they are, you know, kind of those things.
Different, you know, different reasons.
Yeah. Also, I kind of want to know the Freddie. Was he kind of not pushed out, but was he just, hey, man, why don't you look somewhere else? Because this would be his third year on campus that he was not going to start. I mean, if I'm thinking that, I'm probably just like, okay, this place isn't working out for me. But I'm wondering if there's any kind of – after the season, was there a meeting of
– that would kind of surprise me only because you have so many spots available. This isn't a – someone's going to have to give up their scholarship year.
Yeah.
So that would surprise me if that was the case. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't be or wouldn't be. It would just – it'd be a little surprising to me.
Yeah, so what does Tennessee have? They have three? Now the four guys?
Which now they'll have four, yeah. But, I mean, bringing in three guys from the transfer portal would have been – it's kind of crazy anyways to think it could happen.
Yeah, but I guess it's – because you only have – unless there's a late
late freshman
high school guy. Yeah. But yeah, you only have one freshman coming in, so that's just so you'd have three open spots currently.
Yeah. Yep.
Come to Tennessee, baby.
You have four open spots currently, right? No, three. Sorry.
Yeah, four, but Bishop Boswell is going to take.
Yeah. Man, that's all I got for basketball and the outlook to next season. Rip in peace to 2022, 2023. It was a fun – or 2023, 2024. It was a fun one. I enjoyed it. Hate how it ended, but –
Yeah, it would hurt a lot less if Alabama wasn't still playing.
That's a good point.
We do have
good news. Their fans don't know that they're playing. So
exactly, yeah, they do not.
You know what really sucks? I'm sorry to do this. They're probably the only team that I thought could have beaten UConn in that bracket, and they got there. Now they also are a team in that side of the bracket that is capable of losing by 40 to UConn.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, the way they can score, they could somehow win.
I made a couple
wouldn't brackets, bet on it.
And I picked Auburn to beat UConn in one of them just because I was like, let's get crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're a team that could for sure, but yep. They also could, are a team that could lose to Yale, and they did. I'm 100% pulling for DJ Burns, Charlie. Also, yeah, good spot. Jordan Ganey is a USC transfer as well. Don't forget that. The original USC Upstate. That's
true. Yeah, we're just getting them all from USC. except Michi Johnson. I guess he's going to Ohio State.
How'd you say that?
Michi Johnson?
No, the other thing. Sounded real northern in that Ohio State. You like pronounce the
Ohio.
Ohio State.
Hmm.
I liked it. It just was different. I was, all my words kind of run together because I'm from Appalachia.
I'm trying to do better at sounding my words out. My wife gets on me because I mumble a lot. So I am trying to do better. Darth Ball asks us, how many years do you think Coach Barnes has left? And once he retires, who are your top three choices to replace him? How many years left? I don't know. What's his contract even look like?
I think it was like a 4-year going into this year. So
3 years probably.
3 years. I mean, I'll say this. A lot of people were saying he was retiring if he won this one. He's not. He wasn't leaving before his guys at Eagle graduated.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
That dude, he's the only person I think that loves Zakai Ziegler more than I do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably three or four years, but who knows? I mean, who knows what happens? I mean, no one thought he would try to leave for UCLA, and he did. So.
Oh, you're putting him on the – he's going to go to USC after Musselman gets fired. Okay.
I mean, I guess like
we could do like a little wife swap with Providence. We could test the waters with Kim English and he can go back home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess like Kim English is obviously like a favorite right now. Who knows what that looks like in 3 years? Yeah. Kim English is definitely one. I like Justin Ganey. He hasn't been a head coach, so I don't know if Danny White would ever go down that road.
I wish USC hadn't gotten Lamont Paris from UTC before. I think he would have been he was already a guy that you were like, he's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then South Carolina gets him, and you're like, all right, well, that turns out that would have been nice to have in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, probably those two guys, and then – I don't know. I like is it Drew Valentine at Loyola Chicago? Really young guy, but already his first year, I think they won 25 games. So one to look out for, I guess. He doesn't have any Tennessee ties, but that doesn't matter to Danny White. So I think he goes outside for whoever the hire is for the Lady Vols, and would probably do it for the basketball team as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. He hasn't done as well, but do we just hire a Hurley on the fact that his last name's Hurley? Go get – is Bobby still at Arizona State?
We could, yeah. We could.
You know their dad's won something like 23 state championships?
Really?
Something stupid. He's got a book about coaching at the school he coaches at that apparently is really good. I think ESPN, a writer for ESPN did it. I read a little bit of it. Seemed like it'd be good. I don't know if it'd be good as a whole book, but I don't know.
I think we could steal Bobby Hurley.
I think we could too, but I don't know if we'd want to. If I don't know. I mean, he's definitely not as been successful as his brother, but.
What's the brother's first name?
Bobby's the brother. He's at Arizona State.
Okay. Who's the other Hurley?
Dan at UConn.
Dan, that's right. Danny Hurley. Danny and Bobby. Yeah. I mean,
Bobby played at Duke. No biggie.
Just the two widest names. Dan.
Those
and
are
Bob.
Some pretty wide names. What is their dad's name? Hold up here. He's just Bob. Hmm. Bobby and Dan.
He's from Jersey City, New Jersey. There's something about them.
Oh,
New York,
I'm
New
sorry.
Jersey.
He's won 26 national championships or state championships. He's won 4 national championships. I don't know.
Sorry,
how he
sorry to cut you short.
Yeah, I mean, 23 to 26. I really just did you dirty, huh? But
that's pretty insane.
Oh,
yeah.
Something happened. The school's closed now. What happened here?
Oh, too many, huh? They just got rid of them.
They're like, ah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Do you have any more that you'd like to see? I mean, definitely Kim English is probably on everybody's radar. I think Forbes was on people's radar at some point. I don't know if that's still
when he was at ETSU. I don't think so anymore. Yeah. Who's that guy at Memphis? Shit. Sorry. I do. I didn't want to let it linger too long, though. I didn't want people to think I was serious. Trying to.
I know Lanier was a big one.
Yeah, I don't know what
just got fired
what's happened
at SMU.
With that. Yeah.
But it was only 2 years, and I think they won like 24 games this past year.
Yeah, they went. Their record the first year was not good, and then improved quite a bit.
And then they fired him because they're going to the ACC. I was like,
oh, interesting. Why'd you hire him?
Yeah. And then now he's at Rice, I think.
Oh, that makes sense. So,
Des Oliver, I thought he would be one too, but he is, he got
not
canned.
Worked.
Yeah.
Oh, did they? That was a popular opinion.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I don't. There's no one off the top. I mean, other than a few of the guys you named that I'd name off the top of my head, but nothing's – I haven't really thought about who's going to replace Rick Barnes because I know Rick Barnes will die one day, but hopefully not for – not any time in the near future, but he will. Okay, you know where I was going with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did. You didn't even smirk.
I did like
that. That was a joke for you.
I didn't even hear you. I was researching.
I said I haven't thought about the Rick Barnes replacement because I know he will die one day, but not for any time soon. Not anytime soon, but yeah. He will, Landon. I don't know if you know that. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's not. I don't know Rick Barnes. He could live forever for all I know.
Maybe we just steal Vanderbilt's coach in a few years, Mark Byington from James Madison.
I am just going to go with the history of Vanderbilt and say, let's not.
Fair. Fair.
All right, let's look at baseball a little bit.
Let's do it.
Going to the Plains.
The Plains, yeah. Auburn record looks like crap. I do think they are a lot better than their record suggests. 1-8 in conference isn't anything to hang your hat on, but they have beat number 18 Iowa. They beat number 10 Virginia earlier in the year. They've had to go through a gauntlet. Yeah, swept by Vanderbilt. They lost the first two to Arkansas, and then they won on the Sunday game. And then they got swept by Texas A&M, which every game in that Texas A&M series was close. 7-9, 8-12, 9-10, and 12 innings. So they can, like, score some runs. And I think the bats have been there for them. They've scored quite a bit of runs against these teams. But, man, their pitching is sporadic.
Yeah, they've given up some points.
Yeah. So much so that they released, like, who the projected starters were for the series. And it was one guy who's never started before and two TBDs on Saturday and Sunday. So
I'm not saying they should name a starter because you just laid out the reasons maybe to wait, but I can't imagine it does a lot of good for the confidence of the staff as a whole when you're going in. You're going, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do yet for the two games. We're three series in. This is our fourth, and we'll find out. We'll just, you know, play it by ear. Who wakes up feeling the best that Saturday morning? That's who we're going to roll with.
Yeah, they're two guys. They're kind of like Georgia in a way. I mean, obviously they don't have Charlie Condon, but they do have the two guys at the top of their lineup that are their best hitters, and they hit the ball well. I think one has a 379 average. Ike Irish is another guy who has a really good average. I think he's a transfer from somewhere. Ike Irish is a name, by the way. It's not made up.
Yeah, it's no Dean Curley name, but yeah.
Cooper McMurray's the other guy that I was mentioning. He's batting 371. Ike Irish is 363. Both of them have over 10 homers and over 40 RBIs on the season. And then after that, it's like just bland stats. Except for you have Cooper Wise, who I think is their leadoff batter. He does have 24 stolen bases, which is an insane amount at this point in the season. he's a guy that you got to watch out for if he gets on the base pass because, you know, Tennessee has been known to give up the bases. Pitchers being slow to the plate. Catchers haven't been great. So that's going to put a little bit of tension on Tennessee's defense there. But other than that, it should be a good series. It's another series without Billy Amick. Don't love that. But, should be back next week ready to go. You did it once. You did it against Georgia without him. You'll have to do it again. I do think, like, when it gets to postseason play, like, you're going to see, like, guys that have had to step up because of injuries, you know, really see that kind of like we were talking about Jamon Mayshak earlier. Like you really got to see him show out because of injury. Guys are going to have to step up. And the good thing is that Tennessee has depth. Like they have Dalton Bargo who can play third. They have Dean Curley who can play third and short. Dalton Bargo can play first, can catch, can play some outfield. Reese Chapman, you know, since all the – they've kind of reshuffled the bottom of that lineup a little bit and who's going where. He's gotten to play. Kavaris Tears has been dealing with a hamstring issue. So he was DHing last weekend and Reese Chapman got to play in right field. So yeah, the good thing is Tennessee does have depth, so it's not hurting us a ton. But you definitely want to get one of your best hitters back in Billy Amick at some point.
Yeah, ideally, you know, sooner rather than later, both, you know, to help you win ball games, but also you want him for postseason and you don't want him coming into postseason.
Yeah.
You know, not having played a ton. It's not good, but yeah, it is right now is not the end of the world to be missing some time, but sooner rather than later, I'd say is the name of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned Auburn's pitching has been sporadic. I mean, that's definitely a good sign for Tennessee who, you know, has a bunch of hitters in that lineup that can swing it. So that's going to make Tennessee dangerous. You want to see some guys, especially pitching rotation, come out and bounce back with like A.J. Causey, who got shelled last weekend and, you know, kind of had his first like bad outing. And then Drew Beam. You know, I think he'd be the first to admit that it hasn't been his best stuff up to this point. He is a good pitcher. I think a lot of that is probably in his head, and he gets ahead in the count. He just kind of misses with two strikes, and, you know, guys in this league, you miss with two strikes, they're going to make you pay. And that's what Georgia was able to do last weekend. That and, like, you had a misjudged ball in the outfield by Kavarys Tears. Probably should have been an out. Christian Moore had a tough play at short. Maybe he probably says he makes that play. It was a tough play to make. And then one goes right through, like, Blake Burks. Right through his legs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it was just an uphill battle from Drew Beam there. And, you know, some of it probably not his fault, but definitely needs to do a better job with two strikes and not just leaving too much over the plate there for good hitters like that Georgia lineup that can make you pay. Right. So I want to see a bounce back from those guys. I just want to continue the same thing with our boy Xander and Kirby. Both those guys showing out. Nate Snead also had some good outings last weekend, but definitely want to find some more arms. Andrew Binky should be back this weekend. That was a guy who's, you know, pitched well out of the bullpen. Marcus Phillips at some point, you want to see him. Yeah, they just need more arms out of the bullpen and more guys that they can depend on. And hopefully when you get healthy, I mean, when does A.J. Russell come back? Who knows, man? Who knows? I mean, you don't want to, like, cause any further damage, but, I mean, just – stinks to have something just linger on and on and on. Right. You never know when it's going to stop. I mean, he could be back, I guess, in a couple weeks. He could be back. I don't know. I mean, like in 2020, Garrett Crochet was kind of dealing with the same thing. He pitched like one inning and they called off the rest of the season. So, like, you didn't even get to see him his final year.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that one up, Landon.
Yeah. Just some. But it worked out for him, okay? He's starting pitcher, pitching pretty well. Yeah, you just want to get A.J. Russell back because I think that helps take the pressure of that bullpen off a little bit more when you don't have a ton of arms that you can depend on right now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely agreed. Who does get the start? Because Tennessee did have one TBD
on there. It'll be Xander. I don't even know why they put TBD. They know.
I have a theory why they put TBD.
Okay.
Tony, dedicated listener of the podcast, he thinks it'll be funny to text him on Saturday night at 10:48.
That's true, yeah.
I think so.
Okay. That's it. I think every night
or he does the
we should text Xander. Yep. Be like, hey, by the way, Tony told us you're pitching tomorrow. And then when they announce him as a starter, we're like, guys, we're in the know.
And when they don't, that'll suck. or when Tony's gonna walk by him in the dugout, and like, here's how I imagine it. This is how it happened in a Disney movie, and I think we kind of got into this. He like walked past him in the dugout really slowly, kind of either, you know, right after the game Saturday or even like close to the end of it. He walks by Xander, you know, kind of peeks at him, and then he turns around and he's like, "It's yours tomorrow." And then he grabs a ball out of his pocket and tosses it to him.
I like that.
Just really theatrical, over the top.
And it's just a pearl of a ball, too.
Yeah. Not a hitter's ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, we should start doing that. But, yeah, it should be Xander. I mean, I think he's – the past two weekends, he's definitely earned that. I would just be shocked. Because, I mean, like, who else is it going to be?
I mean, that's kind of what I was like, surely it's Xander. And then – you know, at least he seemed
TBD to have must it. Be a hell of a pitcher.
That's what I was thinking. You think last week he kind of not saying he earned it for the rest of the season or anything, but earned it at least for the next series.
Yeah.
So I was kind of shocked to see TBD up there, but I don't know if they're – I don't know what if they're – they have some kind of master plan, but
– they're just not going to mess with it.
Not going to tell them until 10:48. I like it.
Yeah.
Smart.
We do have a late question here from our buddy Ethan Cundiff. He says, who do y'all think has a big weekend for both baseball and softball? I know we don't talk about softball much. My two are Hunter Ensley and Destiny Rodriguez, big defensive players for both teams, but I have a feeling they come up big with the bats.
Okay.
I like the Hunter Ensley pick.
That's how I was about to say that too.
That's kind of a wild card, I guess. Because, I mean, I don't know what that lineup looks like. Is Kavaris Tears, is he going to DH? If he does, I guess Rhys Chapman will be out there. Hunter Ensley will be out there. If he does go, I guess Bargo going to be your third baseman, I would assume. Maybe you see some of Ariel Antigua at short and you see Dean Curley at third, and maybe Bargo goes to the outfield. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, Hunter Ensley's hitting the ball well right now, so I like that pick. I'm going to go with – for baseball, I'm going to go with Rhys Chapman.
Okay.
I thought Hunter Bargo had a great series against Georgia. I think it's Rhys Chapman's turn. He's batting like 400 right now. So I like what he's giving you off the bench. And, you know, I think he's gonna make it even harder on the staff by having a great series. So when everybody does come back, you're like, guys, this guy's batting like 410. What are we doing? How do we get 10 players in the lineup at one time? I don't know.
You get a DH, but beyond that, 11 players.
Yeah.
Aren't there technically 10 players in the lineup?
No.
Or you mean the actual batting lineup?
Okay. Yeah, the actual
batting. I got confused this time too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and then, you do include, if you include Xander, who's going to, rumor is that he's going to get an at-bat eventually this year. So on Sunday.
Yeah, we need to make it happen.
It would be hilarious if the scenario he loves actually happens.
About him getting a bat?
And playing in the outfield with Kirby next to him.
That'd be cool. I think they should just both play center field at the same time.
Together?
Yeah.
Listen, they haven't had to run in a while. Let them play next to each other, okay?
Yeah. They do get a little jog in and –
that's true.
Between innings. Yeah, they get that little strut in. That's a good point. Softball, I mentioned that. They do play. They just lost their win streak. It was like 20-something games, 20 games, something like that. But still won the series at Auburn. They played Georgia at home. So pretty big series there with the Lady Dogs. Are they ranked? It is a top 10 matchup. Okay. I thought so.
Man, we've had such good weather, and then they're going to get a crappy weekend. I hate that for them. I assume it's going to be crappy. It's going to be so cold tomorrow, and then.
Yeah, it'll probably be cold and rainy.
I honestly haven't looked at it, though, so.
A person I'll go, I'll just go, like, obvious. I mean, Destiny Rodriguez is a good one. I'm going to go Keke Malloy.
Okay.
Best player just being our best player. I'm gonna go with her.
ride the stallion in. I don't know what I was gonna I started that sentence and didn't know where I was going with it. Yeah, ride your Kiki. Trusted one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going Keke. Also just fun name to say.
Excuse me. Yeah. Let's talk some football. This, I think we're going to have to run through this one, Landon.
Getting a little close here. Football, like, it's spring practice. You're getting a lot of, like, oh, this freshman's standing out. Oh, this guy's standing out. Oh, this position group could be better. I mean, like let's kind of run through the position groups real quick to see, like, do you think they're better than last year? And do you think they could be better than 2022? I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Let's just go real quick. Don't have to spend a lot of time on them. Let's start with quarterback.
I mean, I think it's a tough one. The biggest challenge, I think, for Nico is not the talent, is not the being the quarterback. It's it seems like the team trusts him. Heard a lot of good stuff about just not only as a player, but as a quarterback. I think the biggest challenge for Nico, and will he be better than not just last year, but also 2022, can he take care of the football? That's my biggest question. I think right now, what we know about Nico, that's the most important thing for him.
Yeah, it's that live to play another down. Mm-hmm. You know, throw the ball out of bounds. You don't have to make a play every single time. Yeah, and I think a lot of that is probably just maturity. And I think him playing on that high school team where there wasn't a lot of high caliber guys on it. So I do feel like he had to take on that role as like, well, if I don't do it, no one's going to do it. Again, that's probably just maturity of him as a quarterback, just getting used to like, I got playmakers and I can get it done on first, second, yeah, third, sometimes even fourth down. It's okay.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely think it's better than last year. I think there's more talent there. I think there's just the, I don't know. I don't want to.
I think it should be. I'm just, we've only seen him in a bowl game. Really? We didn't get to see him much last year.
Yeah, that's true. That's
why I'm hesitant. It
should be better because of,
yeah,
and surrounding cast has a lot to do with that too. Now if Tennessee was replacing everybody along that offensive line, I think maybe my answer is a little different. But the fact that you got, you know, that offensive line pretty much intact and back, I think it should be better. Now, 2022, yep, I think that's going to be tough to beat. That was so much fun.
We'll see if he did.
Hopefully. Let's go running back.
The running back, y'all. I think this is another, like, you really hope it is. I mean, replacing Jalen Wright's talent's going to be just kind of a task in and of itself. But I think the most difficult part will be replacing the lot of them. The Jalen Wright, the Jabari Small, and then while you do get Dylan Sampson back, it's in a different role. So mm-hmm. Can you replace the production that Dylan Sampson gave you as the third guy? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot, I think, like, this is a situation like quarterback. Ton of talent there. We just don't really know. Can Dylan Sampson be the premier back?
Yeah. I'm going to go with no, it's not better than last year just because I thought Jalen Wright was that good.
I think
it's nothing to do with Dylan Sampson. It's just the home run ability of Jalen Wright was a difference for Tennessee last year that without that, that could be a difference in a couple of those games. I mean, he was that good last year.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go just because of who you lost. Now, again, talent-wise, I think it could be just as good with who you got. Again, it's just a lot of question marks. I mean, Cam Seldon's hurt right now. Peyton Lewis isn't with Tennessee right now. So it's kind of Deshaun Bishop and Khalifa Keith with Dylan Sampson.
Yeah.
So to that point, I'm going to go – and Jabari Small – I don't want to just, like, disregard him because he was a really good back for Tennessee his whole entire career.
What it just felt, especially when Jalen Wright started playing as good as he did, the 1-2 punch felt really effective. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the little we've seen of Cam Seldon, and obviously you need him to be healthy, I think this can be – I think there's more talent between the two of them than there were between the two of Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. Now, Jabari Small was very successful, so can they mimic or be better than that? I think it looks like they could be. Obviously, a lot to be told. I think as a room, this group has – the ability to be better, but I'm with you. I don't know if you replace the premier back of Jalen Wright.
Yeah. Maybe we just do offense this go around. And
that's kind of what I was thinking. All right. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're good. Let's go wide receiver real quick. I'll start this one off. 2022 was some of the best wide receiver play we've seen in a long time. So I don't know what it matches up compared to that. But last year, I thought the wide receivers took a big step back. And some of those guys were on that team. Like, Ramel Keaton just had a bad year. Had a case of the drops. I think quarterback play probably has something to do with that too. But I definitely think there's more talent on the roster now than there was then. Obviously, Brew McCoy is back. And that's a big thing once he gets healthy. I like Chris Brazel. I think Dante Thornton, now that he's in a new role on the outside instead of the inside, which I don't understand how you see his frame and not think, oh, my God, he's an outside receiver. But whatever. And then you've got some talented freshmen. You got Braylon Staley, Mike Matthews, and then you got Caleb Webb, Chaz Nimrod, another year.
I would say the impact, I think, of the last year's freshman, I think, is one of the bigger bumps for you.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely more talent than last year. So I definitely think the wide receivers are better.
I think I'm with you. I think you kind of said it, but better than last year. I think you take a step forward, but replacing what you had in 2022 is a task. I don't know if you do that
stuff. Yeah. Tied in. I think this is a weird one for me. I really just don't know.
We don't know, and I think McAllen Castles could have made a bigger impact than he did. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we used him enough, so I don't know if losing him will be that anything really. So I don't. I think you're probably bet. I think. At times, you were better than you were in 2022, other than the ability to do different things with Princeton Fant. Other than that, I think you were better.
Yeah. I think you have tight ends.
Right.
With Ethan Davis and Holden Stays. And even Miles Kitzelman has apparently been a big surprise. So, that's good to hear. I think there's more depth there. So, I'm going to say probably even, I guess.
Yeah.
I think there's more upside with Ethan Davis and Holden Stays probably.
Yeah, I just don't know if it happened. I don't know if you see it this year is the only thing.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't know. I don't think it's a drop off, but I don't know if I could say it'll get better.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Offensive line. This one's kind of tough too because it's a lot of the same guys. Now you do have an added bonus there with Lance Hurd instead of Gerald Mincy.
So
you like that. I don't know what you do at left guard. I don't think Tennessee has known what they're going to do with left guard the last 2 years. I don't know. Somebody needs to step up. And then after that, I just don't know who's behind these guys. Like, when they leave, who else is there?
I mean, when they leave, and then also when you inevitably have offensive linemen go down, I think that's a big question mark. I think, yes, questions at left guard. I think as a whole, as a unit, you're going to look at a really good starting five. And then behind that, I don't know where they're at.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the drop off, and, you know, props to Ollie Lane for coming in and being able to play center, but there was a drop off when Cooper Mays went down that first couple games of the season.
Absolutely. You're not wrong.
So I think it's better because you got a better tackle out of it, a true left tackle, but if they say healthy, yes, it's better. If not, I don't know what you do.
Yeah, and the thing is an offensive line as a group is not going to stay healthy. Just the matter. Like, that's just how it goes.
In 2022, I mean, you had Darnell Wright. So I'm going to go with they're probably not better in 2022. I don't – Lance Hurd definitely has that, projection to be a top draft pick at some point. But didn't play a lot at LSU, and this is kind of his first real shot at being a starter. So we'll see what he can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they I think you see an offensive lineman that is no worse than last year, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Kind of all I got. You got a good friend to tell us about?
Yeah, guys. Grade A grounds. Love me some grade A grounds in the morning. Some people can drink coffee in the afternoon. So if you're that person, you're going to love it in the afternoon as well. Grade A Grounds is a local coffee roasting company. They're in Kingsport, Tennessee, owned and operated by two educators, both in the Johnson City area. They want to make great coffee. If you know teachers, they love great coffee. But another one of their goals is to support their community and students. They do that by every purchase. 5% of that is going to a nonprofit called Coalition for Kids. They support student and classrooms all over the Tri-Cities. All that money is going towards much needed supplies for those Coalition for Kids classrooms. I got another bonus for you. Bonus on top of bonus on top of bonus. With each bag, you'll get to see students and their artistic talents on display. Every label that their coffee bags on their coffee bags have been created by students at the direction of art teachers in those classrooms. So it's just all around, just great stuff. I can't say enough about the Beautiful Blueberry. I'm scared to try anything else at this point because I've just fallen in love. So, y'all know you're going to take my word for Grady Grounds, take my word, Beautiful for Blueberry, but also be more adventurous for me and try out all their other awesome flavors. Be on the lookout this fall for their Volsicle, another great coffee that is, it's also got a little Tennessee in it, if you know what I mean. Go check out Grady Grounds. Appreciate them. And I know you will too.
Perfect. Do it.
Use code promo code GoVols. Sorry, go forgot Vols. To add that little tidbit in.
Do it. Go Vols. All right. I got one person to tell you about real quick as well, and then we'll get into some stupidities here. And that's our good friends at Knoxville Tours.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Did I lose it? What's going on here? Okay, no, I didn't. Here it is. It is never too early to think about football season. Tennessee takes on Oklahoma this season in Norman to welcome them to the SEC. Our good friends at Knoxville Tours have a great 5-day tour September 19th to the 23rd that takes all the stress off of you when booking and planning an away trip. The trip on the Motor Coach Tour will take you from Tennessee to Oklahoma for the game and some fun stops along the way. The trip will include transportation to and from Oklahoma, four-night hotel accommodations, and a dinner show at Cattleman's. Go cheer on the Vols in the Midwest. They will also be doing tours to Arkansas and Vanderbilt this football season. Give Knoxville Tours a call today at 865-688-6232 to book your tour and let them know more important issues see you.
Go right now.
Do it.
Do it.
Stupidity.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about something.
Okay.
What about old Willie down in Alabama? Willie in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's a tough scene, man.
Let me just get your take on it. What's your Tennessee equivalent? Tennessee brought their Willie to practice. Who is it?
Andy.
It's Andy. Can you imagine? He's been trespassed from there. What do we do? Which I don't know if Willie's a creep, so that I won't call him that.
He said a girl at the airport had a thing on her that would choke a mule.
Well, was she of age? Because
I don't know.
Still one up, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's crazy. It is. People drawing the parallels between, I'll say this, for Kalen DeBoer. At least right now, it looks like he's being himself. He's not necessarily the worst thing anybody following a legend can do is try to be that legend.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not saying he shouldn't learn from Nick Saban, but he shouldn't try to emulate Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So I'll say that. Is it weird and a negative? Maybe, but at least he's trying to be himself, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe, though, don't always. Maybe leave that one in the bag, though. Whoever floated that idea out, good idea. Don't speak again at the meetings.
Yeah, that's just a bad scene because, like, you know. You know Nick Saban would never do that. But whatever. I mean, Nick Saban did hire Butch Jones, so
sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's a good point. We should put Willie's name on the scoreboard at the Catholic High School.
We should, definitely. Yeah, my stupidity is gonna be USC. What are you doing?
Which one?
Southern Cal. L.A. Eric Musselman?
What is Eric Musselman doing?
I don't know. I guess he just sees, like, the SEC's getting better. I'm getting worse. Let's go to L.A. I mean, this had to just be, like, I want out of Arkansas and I want to go to California. That's all it has to be.
I don't think you have to pay me to move my job from Little Rock, Arkansas to Fayetteville, Arkansas to LA. I don't think I'd have a hard time making that transition. Yeah. Wife would be like, honey, the kids are just getting settled into school. I'm like, I don't care. We are leaving.
Until he learns about the taxes in California, he's like, oh my God, what have I done?
Nah, he's got enough money. He doesn't have to worry about taxes.
He probably does. He probably didn't even pay him.
whoa, it's tax season.
I love the stat that USC is like, oh, he's been to two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16. They also forget this man was
how many shirts is he taking off?
That tied for 10th in the conference his first year. His fourth year, he did make the Sweet 16, but he was ninth in the conference, went 22-14. Don't even know how he made the NCAA tournament. And then this year goes 16-17 and was 11th in the SEC. And they're like, that's our guy.
And they're going to the Big Ten. Their conference is going to get arguably more difficult. It is going to get more difficult. They ain't to argue about it. More difficult. Yeah, not a good look there, USC. Go Trojans, am I right?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that just like screw it. We're all in on football.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Not a good look there either, but I digress.
Yeah. Let's just get every, like, coach that used to wear, like, red at some school and get them to USC.
Have you ever thought about adding gold to that color pattern?
Should.
Or I guess are they gold? I guess they're more just a yellow. Why does every California school have yellow in their colors? The sun? Get addicted to the sun?
I guess so. Yeah. It really just pops.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Just not a good. I don't think that's a great hire. And also, like, I don't understand Eric Musselman leaving an Arkansas team that he's kind of like built. And like before, like this year, I was like, oh, Arkansas is like a good basketball team. Like they're the one of the top teams in the SEC. But this year, I'm just like,
I mean, I included thought they'd be I didn't think they'd be in the top four conversation, but I thought they'd be in that. They'd be a decent force in that middle group for sure.
I mean, he should just have another bad year and then be a fired basketball coach. Like, that's the best thing ever. That's a stupidity on himself for not waiting another year just so he could be fired and not have to work.
Yeah, hopefully that USC buyout's good money too, you know?
Yeah. I got one more. It's the Chicago White Sox. Did you see where their fourth game of the season, they went out after a rain delay and the first base coach was like gone?
No, just went home.
They like could not get somebody to just go coach first base. They're like, anybody can go do it. And then it was a big, I mean, they waited like 5 minutes for somebody to just put on a helmet. They had to find a certain helmet that you have to wear in, as base coaches, and go out
there. Worst case scenario, can you not just wear a batting helmet though?
I think you have to. I think that was the thing. It was like, they're like, we can't find one.
But like, there's not a, like, I get maybe if they wanted one of the, like the, what are they, I don't know what they call it. Essentially, it looks like a hard hat.
Yeah.
But like, worst case scenario, couldn't they be like, this batting helmet fits you?
That's what I thought. I thought you could just wear any kind of helmet, but they had to get a specific
Chicago Bears helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one of them, but I mean, just an absolute, just, it was after a rain delay, but I want to know, like, what happened to the first base coach? Did he just like, he's like, guys, this ain't worth it. Follow no one's coming to our games anyway.
Yeah.
Poor Garrett Crochet. He did get the win over the Braves the other night, but man, they are just,
yeah, the rest of that organization.
Ugh. They're horrible. I mean, he's pitched like 13 innings and had his lineup gave him one run.
But say, I guess at least they got past first. What were they, 2 or 3 games into the season and hadn't advanced a runner past first base?
It's probably because they didn't have a first base coach.
That's a good point.
They didn't
That's
know whether
point.
To go or not.
Yeah. Just waiting on my signals.
Yeah.
Love it.
Anything else?
Not a stupidity, but I was I said follow the money a minute ago, and it reminded me. Have you heard about this heist in, I think it was in L.A., California, Southern California somewhere?
Was that some with Eric Musselman?
Maybe. Yeah, he's still effectively stealing money from that school. Some thieves, un-American people, they stole $30 million.
Wow.
Cash from this facility. They said facility. It wasn't a bank, but I mean, I think it was a, I guess like a transfer facility type deal where they pick up cash from, I thought it went straight to the bank, but a Brinks truck would pick up cash, take it to this place over the weekend, I guess, before it'd be put into, I don't know the exact details of it, but anyways, $30 million cash. Have you heard about this?
No.
I ran across it in the most random place. I don't remember. I mean, it's been written in like the Washington Post and stuff like that, but not talked about. $30 million is a lot of cash. That's a lot of money. And it's not being discussed.
Yeah, who has that just laying in a warehouse is what I want. There's so many. I have so many questions about it.
It sounds, the job, the way they describe it, sounds like the job wasn't that hard. It sounds like they didn't have to. This wasn't Ocean's 11.
Okay.
It sounds like it was
relatively like masterminds.
Easy. They did that, go in. Sounds like they cut a hole in the roof though and went in. That's pretty sick.
Okay.
But other than that, that's really what the most difficult part of this sounds like happened.
Like perfect circle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then last year in May, hadn't heard about this either, there was a armored semi-truck that was robbed for, this is where it gets weird. It was jewelry and things like that. They were transferring from like a trade show to another trade show. So still a lot of money, but anywhere between $10 million is, I guess, the minimum. To $150 million worth of jewelry stolen.
They said it was, they either stole this or that.
So it was jewelry. So I guess it's valued not the same. You know, like they couldn't agree on an appraisal, I guess. Hmm. And so it was valued somewhere between, I know that gap seems huge. So
yeah, I'm just like, what a range.
I think where the gap comes from, because I think there's been lawsuits with Brinks, the company delivering it. And then the insurance companies, and then the people who own them. There's been, I think that's probably where that range comes from. People who own it are saying it's worth 150. Insurance is like, no, it's worth 10. Shut up. So it's probably somewhere in the middle, probably closer to 10, but probably somewhere in the middle. But still, that's, how are these stories not being talked about more? First off, I want a Netflix series, but that's insane. Two massive heists. I just learned about it like yesterday. Also, if you have an idea to steal $30 million, I'm not saying I'm in, but I'd like to hear about it. Especially if no one's going to talk about it.
Yeah. It's like,
I'll say no, wink, wink, FBI. I will say no, 100%. I will say no. I don't do that. Well,
you can't put it out there because they don't want people to know they have $30 million just laying around some random warehouse in LA.
Right?
Just like any weekend, there's just $30 million at this random place.
I'm baffled. I'm like 99% sure it wasn't a bank. I feel like you would just say $30 million was stolen from a bank vault, but they specifically did not use the word bank. So I don't know. I don't know how it works. I can't fathom $30 million cash, especially.
Yeah, same.
It'd be pretty sick, though. I would break into a vault just to look at that. I don't even need it. Just see it. I'd be like Walt. Or not Walt, but the two, God, what's his name? Bill Burr and I don't remember his name in the show, and Hugh. I just lay on it. So let me lay on $30 million. That's it. Let me take a Scrooge McDuck bath.
Yeah, let's make a $1 million fort out of just bundles of cash.
$1 million what?
Fort.
Oh, fort. Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah.
Speaking of building, last thing for the show, I'm getting into Legos again. And I know I sound like a child, but one was on sale yesterday. And I was thinking, I loved Legos growing up. I mean, I love them still. Legoland, sick. But I hadn't built any in a while. I was like, oh, I'll get this. This one's pretty cheap. I'll get one. It was Obi-Wan's fighter. It's up there somewhere. I've already finished it. No big deal. So I think I've got to figure out, because they don't sell the sets to do it. I would have to buy the pieces individually, every piece. But I would really, really like to, in the next, I don't know, year, build a Neyland Stadium one.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
I think I'm going to start off small, kind of like learn how to like map it out and buy the pieces myself and just do a power T like on a board first. Because I've never done anything like that. And buying all the pieces, figuring out how to ground up, build that sounds incredibly difficult. Maybe easy. I don't know.
Yeah, like how big to make it and stuff like that.
Big, how to set everything so that when you get to the other end, it works out. When you get to the, you want to build the second, you want to build the overhang, like how pieces need to go in there. How to make it look right so it comes out like stands. And because I don't, you've probably seen that one. It's not it's not Lego branded, but they have that one the kit you can buy.
Hmm.
I don't think it looks good. So I want to make it look better than that.
Okay.
If I do it, I want it to look really good if I do it.
Heck yeah. I'm in.
But I was thinking about that today. And I was,
honestly, you should figure out how to do it. And then we could start like making our own sets and selling those.
Yes. Yes. And get sued by Lego for $30
million. Yes.
No,
then we get sued. We have to pay that money and then we'd steal it back at a random warehouse.
Yes.
All right, guys. Ideas. We're full of them. We're full of just
some not.
Full of it.
I'm not in on the robbery one. I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, me either. All right. Well, guys, go check out Roback, ROBACK.com. Check out all their great clothing over there. They still have the Tennessee polos. Really awesome. Caleb just got his. I've had mine for a little bit, but they're back in stock, so go check them out. Just great clothing. I love all the pants. I love the joggers. I love the Q-zips, hoodies, all of it. They just got great stuff over there, great quality. So go check out Roback. Use promo code MOREIMPORTANTISSUES for 20% off your first purchase. All right. Anything else?
That's it for me.
Guys, thank y'all for listening. Have a great Friday, great weekend. We'll see you back on Sunday. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.